Okay, please turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Read a very passage we'll look at. It's very, very short. I want to look at the second half of verse 21 and the second half of verse 25. The second half of verse 21, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." Verse 25, second half, "Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." Let's pray. Now, Father in heaven, please teach us from your word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, there are people laughing that shouldn't be laughing. And there are people weeping that shouldn't be weeping. We live in an upside-down world. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 7, Solomon says, "I have seen servants on horses while princes walk on the ground like servants." Now, he didn't mean that he'd seen actual princes walking while their servants rode horses. What he meant was that he saw people that were more noble than the princes that ruled over them. And as far as their character was concerned, the roles were reversed. Well, things in this world are not as they should be, nor are they the way they seem. We think about the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and we see Lazarus weeping while the rich man is laughing. We see Lazarus hungry while the rich man is filled. And we see, and if you'd have been an observer back in those days and walking down the road and you see this lovely palace and you see the rich man there, and especially the way the Jews thought about those kinds of things, and really Christians today tend to be this way as well, they'd look at him and say, "The Lord must really love him. I mean, man, he's really blessed him and everything." And you ever hear Christians that way? Christians sometimes be that way. And then they look at Lazarus and they say, "Oh boy, what'd he do? What'd he do to get God so mad at him?" You know? But the truth of the matter was just the opposite, wasn't it? God loved Lazarus, and God, when Lazarus died, God didn't trust him with an angel. One angel wasn't enough. It said angels, plural, carried him away to Abraham's bosom. So that song, "A band of angels will carry me home," that's biblical. That's right. There's a band of angels. Maybe it's only two. I don't, it just said more than one. So I know when I'm dying, there'll be more than one angel that's going to carry me to heaven. God is so concerned about our salvation, he won't trust just one angel to carry you to heaven. And so he loved Lazarus so much. But the Bible says the rich man died and was buried. Of course, we know he lifted up his eyes in torment. And so things were not the way they seemed. Well, so it is with so many things in this world. There are people laughing that shouldn't be laughing. And there are people weeping that shouldn't be weeping. Now, there again, let me say, God is not against laughter. But God has a different perspective on the timing and the reason for laughing. I think about these wicked stand-up comedians. Back in when I was a kid, the stand-up comedians were clean and their jokes were funny and everything. But now you don't hardly ever, I guess there's some clean ones, but they're hard to find because they gotta just put filth in there. And normally, see a stand-up comedian on the average television network or whatever, you can just say, just turn the set off. It's going to be double meaning innuendos and all kinds of wicked, wretched stuff. That's how they got to get their laughs. And the proverb we read this morning, Proverbs 14:9, "Fools mock at sin." And that's what these things are all about. And these fools get big laughs with their filthy jokes and their double-meaning innuendos. But rather than laughing, their audiences should be mourning, shouldn't they, when they hear that kind of stuff? Well, there's a thing in business and in the business world that they call the long view and the short view. And American corporations have a tendency to be known for their short view of things. And the Japanese tend to be known for their long view of things. And American companies will make decisions that will give their shareholders quick returns, you know, and it's a short-sighted, but it takes care of them for the moment and establishes them and gets them their bonuses and everything. Even though this short-term thing they did might be bad for the company in the long term, they don't care because they're moving on to a different company. They're moving on to another promotion anyway. It's all in the short term. Japanese don't think that way. They think, what's going to be best for our company 10 years from now? So they may make decisions that are bad for them in the short term, but in the long term, they make their companies prosperous. Why do I talk about that? Well, because God looks at the long term with his children. When God, in his providence and his taking care of his children, he tends to look at the long view of things. While we in our lives have a tendency to look at the short view. And so God may bring things into our lives that make us weep. And we object to this. And we ask, where is God? Where is God? How could God let this happen in my life? How can God be doing this to me? And you feel like you're living in a nightmare. And this is a common thing for Christians. But this thing that you're going through might really be best for you in the long haul. In the long haul, those things that we perceive as negative and hurtful in our lives may actually turn out for our benefit. We see this in the scriptures. We think that this was in Paul in jail at Philippi. Remember what he says in chapter 1? He says, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. You know? And of course, you know the story of Joseph. What happened to Joseph? If you're just living in history at that time and you're just observing it from outside, not knowing the end of it, you'd say, oh, what a tragedy. This 17-year-old young man sold into bondage and then falsely accused and then thrown into prison on top of that. And not just for 6 months, not for a year, not for 2 years, not for 3 years, not for 10 years, but for 13 years until he's 30 years old. And you've got to look at that from there and say, how could this possibly be good? But we know the end of the story. It's real easy. You just flip through the next chapter and you got the story. We get kind of used to that. We say, oh, it turns out great, Joseph, don't worry about it. But if you're Joseph during that 13 years, you'd be worrying about it. And the Bible doesn't record Joseph in any of his heartaches and his struggles of faith. But you think that he went through those 13 years without struggles of faith. There's no way he was human and didn't go through struggles and say, God, why am I here? He must have thought at times, perhaps God's going to just let me die in here. And especially a young man, 17 to 30, their years are longer than my years. You know, my years go by pretty fast. But when I was 17, they didn't go by quite so fast. Well, speaking of Paul, he talks about the palace guard, doesn't he? Well, John Fox, in his book, on Fox's Book of Martyrs, tells us of an entire Roman legion of more than 6,000 men that came to Christ. Now, it may not have been every man in the unit, of course, but that they were martyred by the Emperor Maximian. And I wonder, when I read that story, if their story might be traced back to Paul's ministry to the Roman soldiers that were chained to him. Who knows? I mean, how God does things. You know, one soldier witnesses to another soldier, and pretty soon God works a mighty revival. But we also know that Paul's being in prison, the blessedness of that ministry of Paul, having written those prison epistles, how important that is for you and I. If everything had gone well with Paul, and Paul didn't go and have problems getting thrown in prison for righteousness' sake, and if Paul, he just went from one glorious, great moment of revival in one city and just went to the next city, a great thing of revival, and they're throwing flowers in his pathway. It's a great evangelist. He's saving us all. And what if Paul's life had been like that? And then your life is what it is now? Wouldn't you think, oh man, there's something wrong with me. What if there was no Job in the Bible? What if there's no book of Job? I'm so glad it's there. Because as bad as I ever get it, I can't say I had it as bad as Job. So when I get to feeling sorry for myself, God reminds me, hey, look at this guy over here. You know? So, Ecclesiastes 7 says this in verses 2 through 4. It says, better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. So he says, sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. I think of the night of the Last Supper, when Jesus was very last time he had with his disciples before the crucifixion. He says in chapter 16 and verse 20 there, he said, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And your sorrow, you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. You see, they didn't understand. The disciples did not understand at the time the events of that night and what was going to follow the next day, the most important events in history for our redemption. And they didn't have a clue what was happening. But Jesus knew that it was best that he go off and die on the cross. That without that, they would have no kingdom in heaven. Without that, he couldn't be preparing a place for them that he might receive them unto himself, as he said in John 14. Well, the point that I'm saying here about all this is this. Maybe there's someone here today that's sorrowing and weeping and you're going through a really hard time in your life. Well, maybe you're perplexed and you're thinking that God is giving you a pretty hard time. However, maybe God is plowing up the hard heart and making it a more fit residence for the Holy Spirit. Maybe he's doing some remodeling. Maybe there's some soul that will be brought into the kingdom by the way of your tears. As it says in Psalm 126, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Or maybe a thousand other things that you will never know this side of heaven. Maybe you will only know when you're carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, as Lazarus did. Maybe it's not time for you to laugh yet. Maybe you're looking at things upside down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the way in which you take care of us. And though we may weep and lament, and though we may sorrow through trials and tribulations and troubles that you bring upon us, Lord, we know that it is still true when you said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And you'll take us all the way through the fiery storm and all the way through the flood of waters. And you'll bring us through to the other side. And then we'll look back with joy and with happiness. We will say, God was with me all the way. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.